Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's great to be here, and thank you so much for coming again to hear the gospel message. We're going to turn to Mark chapter 1, please, Mark chapter 1. And we're going to read two incidents in the life of the Lord Jesus. They're right back to back. They are miracles that he performs. This is near the start of what we would call his public ministry, when the Lord Jesus went out and he would be teaching. He'd be teaching the way of salvation. He'd be teaching the truth, the way of God, to the people. And he'd perform miracles, showing indeed that he is God. And we're going to read two remarkable incidents in Mark chapter 1 and early on in Mark chapter 2. So Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And the first thing we're going to read about is when he heals a leper. And it says in verse 40, "And there came to him, or came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed." Now we'll go down to chapter 2 and verse 1. "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto them, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But they were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And God will add a blessing to the reading of his word. Two remarkable passages. And my brain doesn't normally work like this, but when I was thinking about these passages for the meeting this afternoon, it did seem like four very clear headings came to me. And they do all start with D. The first one is disease. It's a horrible place to start. It's a horrible place to start, but how can we read these passages and not recognise, it's inescapable, that there is disease before us? The second one is deity. And we're going to think about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And we're going to make it very clear from the scriptures that he is God. He is God just now. He was God then. He was God in flesh in this world. It's an amazing, amazing truth. Thirdly, I want to think about the determination of the leper and indeed the man that was sick of the palsy with his friends to come to the Lord Jesus. And then finally, I want to think about decision, because we always, when we read the word, we have to think about ourselves and our own condition. And indeed, with every gospel message, there is a decision to be made if you have not yet put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. So first of all, let's think about that rather horrible one, disease. And it's not a nice thing to think about, I understand that. But we've read about a leper. And, you know, we don't see leprosy a lot in this country, but it's a pretty chronic, mildly infectious disease. I think back in the Bible times, they thought it was a lot more infectious. It's not as infectious today, it's mildly infectious disease. But it's pretty horrible. It affects the nerves, it affects the skin, it affects the eyes. And indeed, sensation can be lost, so that much pain can be felt, and indeed it can lead to deformation and loss of sensation. It's a particularly horrible, horrible disease. And then we read about a man that was sick of the palsy, or we can think about it more simply than that. He was paralysed. He may well have been paralysed from his birth, we're not quite sure, but ultimately he could not move. He could not move for himself. He was helpless. And what a horrible thing that must be, not to be able, as we are, with the grace of God, just to be able to engage our brain. We don't know how it works. The brain is an incredible thing. Our bodies are incredible things. Just to think, and our hand moves, and our body moves. This man, he was paralysed. He couldn't move. Two horrible, sick diseases that left these men desperate. Desperate. Now, in Leviticus chapter 13, we'll not go there, but there is a passage in the Bible that's a hard read. And it is about discerning leprosy. So that the priest in those days could look at a man and could say, this man has leprosy. And there were bad consequences to that. And some of the things that come out in that chapter is that leprosy is more than skin deep. It goes deeper than the skin. It's not just something external. It's internal. It goes deeper than the skin. It talks about how leprosy can spread. It talks about, and this is horrible, how leprosy defiles. It makes somebody unclean. And the consequence of being made unclean, defiled, is that they had to be isolated. Now, isolation is a terrible thing. Isolation is a terrible thing. Loneliness is a terrible thing. To have no contact with people, to not be near loved ones, to maybe have no friends. But for the leper, he was taken outside of the camp. He was taken away from society. It's a terrible thing. Defiled, unclean, isolated. And then it says something in Leviticus 13 that is incredible. It says this, that the garments that the man or the woman would wear, that would the leper, it says we can't wash them. It says they're just fit for the fire. Now, when I read that, it made my sort of hairs on my arms stand up. Just fit for the fire. You know, friends, we don't want to scare you in any way, but it's the gospel is a very serious message. It's a message of great news. We're going to get there. But the reality is that in our sins, and we'll discuss that in a second as well, if we do not have our sins forgiven, the Bible says that we're just fit for God's judgment. That's a scary thought. We're just fit for God's judgment. We'll just bear that in mind for a second. But it's clear from this passage, as we've thought about disease, that there is a very clear link that is made to a condition that we all have, and it's a disease as well. And it is that condition of sin. And when we read about the leper and we talk about being clean, it gives us that connotation, but we don't really need to imagine it much. The Lord Jesus tells us, because in chapter 2, he doesn't just say to the man that was paralysed to get up and walk first of all. He does that later. He says, because of the man's faith, thy sins be forgiven thee. The Lord Jesus goes beyond the man's condition, and you think, well, what could possibly be a bigger condition or a bigger need that the paralysed man would have than to gain back sensation that he might walk, that he might move like we do? The Lord Jesus goes beyond it, and he says to the man, he says to his friends, he lets everybody who's in that house, and there were many people thronging in the house, it says, that there is a greater condition. A more debilitating condition that is much more important, not for this life, but for all of eternity, and indeed this life, and that is sin. Now friends, this is not something people like. And this passage about the healing of the paralysed man is a well-known incident in the Bible, but I don't think it gets as much airplay, if you like, if I can use that phrase, as it should. And I believe because people don't like that, that the Lord Jesus confronts them with sin. People in society today don't like being confronted with the fact that we are all sinners. The Bible tells me that. It tells me that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now in John chapter 9, the Lord Jesus comes and walks past a blind man, another horrible condition. And the disciples ask an interesting question. The followers of the Lord Jesus are reasoning in their minds and their hearts, and they say to the Lord, what sin has this man committed or his parents that he's blind? Now the Lord Jesus answers this. He says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now that is not to say that this blind man had never done anything wrong, because the Bible says that all have sinned. Same with his parents. All have sinned. But the Lord says that there was no specific sin that caused these horrible conditions. But he was going to manifest these great works, the works of God in those men for the glory of God. But you know, friends, the Bible does tell me this, that at the root of all our problems, the root of all our issues, personally, collectively, is sin. You say, well, how do you know that, Mark? How do you make that conclusion? Because the Bible tells me that the wages of sin is death. And is not that the greatest issue that each and every one of us has, that we are all going to die? It wasn't always like that. If we go way back to the start of our Bible, when God created Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman, it was a completely different environment. It was an environment before sin had come in. It was an environment before Adam disobeyed God willfully and went against God's word, and sin came in. And at that point there was fellowship between God and man, and there was no decay. There was no aging. There was none of the things that we see in society today. Things were just, as it were, a paradise, just perfect. And then, of course, sin came in when Adam disobeyed God. And when sin came in, everything changed. The relationship between man and God was broken, as it still is today for each and every one of us that have not had our sins forgiven. And the garden, which was perfect, and the environment, which was perfect, started to decay. And things started to die. And thorns started to grow. And problems came in. And we look at our world today, and we see it so visibly. Immorality, violence, lies, jealousy, wars. And it is so visible. And we may ask the question, and we just don't have time to expound on this question for very long, because it's one of life's biggest questions. Why do bad things happen? Well, it's maybe not one specific sin that causes bad things to happen in our lives or in the world. But at the root cause, the Bible tells me that sin is the biggest issue that we all have. And it's the root cause of all our problems, and indeed all the world's problems. The wages of sin is death. Now, when it talks about death here, it doesn't just mean this concept of at some point we're going to die of some condition, and there is this fade to black, this idea of eyes closing, no more, nothing to see again, that's just an end. You know, many people like to think that is what happens, but that is not what happens. That's not what the Bible tells us. That's not what God tells us in his word. And I think if we really search down into our hearts, right into our souls, if you like, I think we know that's not what happens. There is more. There is a creator God. There is an afterlife. And the Bible does tell us that if we indeed are in our sins and don't have our sins forgiven, that we will, when we die, meet God, the Lord Jesus, as our judge. And the concept of death here is being judged for our sin and separated from God for all of eternity. And you ask the question, Mark, well, why is this? Why does it need to be that way? Well, we've already thought about God as a holy God, as a perfect God. It's almost beyond our comprehension, the holiness and the perfection of God. And if God is going to have us and have a relationship with us and have us ultimately in his presence in eternity, then he has to judge sin to be true to his character, his holy character. I am so forever grateful that we can come this afternoon in Dunfermline and give you the good news that God has made a way possible for you and for me to have our sins forgiven. He's done it all. We'll come to it, exactly what it means, that if we just put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and seek forgiveness of sins, we will not meet him as our judge, but we will spend all of eternity with him as our saviour. It's an absolute thrill to believe in my heart that he is my saviour, and I will not be judged for my sin, but will have all the blessings that God promises to those that believe in him. Friends, the forgiveness of sins is our greatest need. Being able to walk wasn't the man's greatest need. Having the leprosy healed, strangely enough, wasn't the other man's greatest need. They needed to have their sins forgiven. And sin is just that picture to us of our position before God. We are spiritually sick, if you like, and we need to be healed and have the forgiveness of God. The second point I want to come to is deity. And that just simply means God. And I want us to think about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. the main man in the story. Now, he was someone who healed the leper, and he healed this paralyzed man, as we've been reading him out. And he was somebody who stretched forth his hand and touched the leper. Now, I want us just to pause for a second here. We're talking about the leper as someone who was isolated and deemed by the people as being unclean. What a horrible position to be in. I wouldn't even like to think about the last time that that man knew what it was to have an embrace. For someone just to touch him in a loving, in a caring way. And here we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've put this heading as deity. God, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. And he just puts his hand forth and he touches the man. He moves in compassion. And he touches the man and immediately he was cleansed. Notice in chapter 2 in verse 11, he simply speaks, take up thy bed, and immediately, the Bible says, the man arose and took up his bed. He didn't need years of conditioning and strengthening. The man that never walked for however many years, straight away, immediately had the strength to get up and to carry his bed and to go back to his house. Now friends, that's a miracle. And as we've read these verses today, you might be sitting there thinking, well, this is hard to comprehend. This is hard to understand. This is hard to contextualise. And can I believe this? Friends, it's not an easy thing. I am not suggesting it is an easy thing. Because the Christians that meet here in Hospital Hill don't have these meetings just to present to you any ordinary person. They don't have these meetings just to talk about someone with some interesting ideas and views. They have these meetings because the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. He is the only one that can perform these miracles because he is God. And they are a miracle for that reason. He was showing forth who he was and his power. These are supernatural things. Supernatural things that he performed. It says in the Bible, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's speaking about the Lord Jesus, the same person. He had no beginning. He was there with the Father God. He was God. He's the Word. And all things were made by him. He is Creator God. And it says in Colossians chapter 1 that he is the image of the invisible God. As we read through our Bible in the Old Testament, God was a spirit. He's invisible. And people were petrified that they might look God in the face because they would die, surely die, because of his holiness. But you know, friends, when people looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, they saw God. When they looked in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were looking directly at the Son of God. He was the image of the invisible God. It says in Hebrews 1 something interesting. It says he is the express image of his person. Slightly different thought there, perhaps. The Lord Jesus Christ is the full expression of the character of God. He is the image of the invisible God. When you looked at the Lord Jesus, those people that had the blessing to do so looked at God. He was the express image of his person. He was the full expression of the character of God, for he was God. And when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, here are some of the things that we can say about him. He was holy, and he was sinless. And the Bible tells us he was full of grace and truth. The Bible tells us that he was full of love, and he showed compassion, as we've been reading about in this particular passage. The compassion to reach out and to touch a leper. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was a man in this world. He was truly man. But perhaps if there's nothing else you take away today from the service, please take away this. The Bible presents him as God, nothing less. He is truly God. It says in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases." When speaking about God, it is said that he can heal all our diseases and he can forgive all of our sins. That's what he does in this passage, isn't it? In chapter 2. Oh yes, he makes a paralyzed man walk and heals him, but he forgives all of his sins, more importantly. Only God can do that. And we notice in chapter 2, as we read through, that this caused quite a controversy when he said that. "Thy sins be forgiven thee." The religious people of the day, the so-called religious people of the day, they thought, well, only God can forgive sins. How can this man say that? That's why they thought he was speaking blasphemies, because he was claiming to be indeed God in his statement when he could say to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee. In verses 9 and 10, the Lord Jesus says, is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? And as I think about that verse, I could say those two things. They're both equally easy for me to say, but they're both impossible for me to carry out. They're equally easy to say. They're both equally impossible for me to carry out. They were easy for the Lord Jesus Christ to say, and he carried them both out. He forgave the man of his disease, or he healed the man of his disease. He forgave the man of his sins. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ performed many miracles. He went to the cross and died. He rose again from the dead. An amazing thing. But you know, I think that one of the greatest miracles, perhaps the greatest miracle the Lord Jesus performs, is when he forgives men and women of their sin. Why do I say that? Well, it meets our greatest need, as we've been thinking. And it came at the greatest price. It meets our greatest need. It came at the greatest price. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, I'll just read it to you. It's an incredible verse. And it says this, for he hath made him, that is, God has made his Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'll read it again. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What does it mean? The greatest price. It means this, that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary, the Bible tells us. And he laid down his life, a sacrifice for sin. And the Bible tells me that all our sins were placed upon him. And he was judged for our sins. And the wrath of God was poured out on him for our sins. He that had no sin, the verse says, he had never committed a sin. He was perfect. That's why he alone was worthy to pay the price for our sin, that he might forgive us of our sin. Notice what it says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might be made right with God. That we might be made right with God. Now we're going to come in a second to the fact that we've all got a decision to make. Now Matt was telling me, my oldest son was telling me the other day that he had PSE. It was, I think, religious studies when I went to school. The name's changed. I think it's now personal and social education. I think a lot more things go into that than just looking at different religions. And there were seven people came into the school, all to speak to the class about what they believed. A smorgasbord of religion, might you say. Seven different people. And not every single one of them would even agree or referenced a man, Jesus Christ, but many of them did. But only one of them, the one that was a Christian, only one of them gave the Lord Jesus Christ his rightful place and said he's God. There were some, I was saying, that it appeared they were Christians. Maybe the Lord Jesus was a prophet. Maybe he was an interesting man. Oh yes, we've got him in our historical documents. But it was only one, the Christian, that said, no, he is God. His deity. It's so important that we understand who this man is, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Son of God. Third heading is determination. We've already thought about the fact that these two men were desperate in their need. No one could help them. But they were determined to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for healing. And really what I want to get to here is faith. Nothing was going to hold them back. They were going to make sure they got to this person that they believed that could make all the difference in their life. Well, let's look at verse 40 just quickly. It says there, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There's actually quite a lot in that verse. First of all, notice the leper was very earnest and determined to get to the Lord Jesus. Somebody who was isolated, kept away from people, he was willing to get to the Lord Jesus because he believed that he could be healed. Notice that he knelt down before the Lord Jesus. He came humbly and he came reverently to to the Lord Jesus. He says to him, if you are willing, if you are willing. He then goes on to say, you can. He believed that the Lord Jesus Christ could heal him. He didn't know if the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to heal him, but he believed that he could heal him. And then he said, you can make me clean. Very specific. He understood his personal need. He understood that the Lord Jesus Christ could meet it. And he just simply asked him if he was willing to heal him. And as we've thought already, it's an incredible and wonderful moment when the Lord Jesus just moved in compassion. He showed that not only he was able, but that he was willing to heal the leper. The determination of the leper to come to the Lord Jesus. He would have been kept away from people, but he wasn't going to miss the opportunity. We think about the man who was paralyzed. He came to the Lord Jesus. He couldn't get there for all the people. He couldn't walk. He needed his friends. But they were determined. They weren't going to miss the opportunity. They got up on the roof. They pulled back the tiles. And they lowered. Can you imagine the scene? They lowered the bed down with the man that was sick of the palsy. And when the Lord Jesus saw their faith, the determination they had to get to him because they believed that he could heal them, he said that their sins are forgiven thee. Look at all the obstacles that they overcame to come to the Lord Jesus. I wonder what is the obstacles in your life. I wonder what is keeping you back from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder what is holding you back from putting your faith and trust in him and having your sins forgiven. The Bible says this, without faith it is impossible to please God. We must come to him, believe in him, believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, and as we have seen here in our passage, if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that we are sinners and that we do not deserve God's forgiveness, but that he is willing and able to forgive us, and just simply trust in him, the Bible says that we are saved. What can God do for us? Many people would ask that question. What can God do for me? He forgives us of all our sins. That's an incredible truth. Perhaps the greatest truth, the greatest news, the news that's on offer today for anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus. Which takes us finally, as we come to a close, to our final D. We've thought about disease, and we've thought about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, his deity. We've thought about the determination of the leper and the paralyzed man just to come to him and to believe in him. It leaves us, and this is very personal to each and every one of us, it leaves us with a decision. We cannot just read passages like this and just move on and just think this is quite a nice story. We have to come to a decision about what this means for ourselves. I wonder, are you going to be determined like the leper and the man that was sick of the palsy to come to the Lord Jesus? We're told here that they were immediately healed. Immediately. The Bible tells me that when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are immediately saved. He saves us. He is willing and able to save us. He will in no wise cast anyone out that comes to him if we come in simple and humble faith and trust in the one that died for us. There's a beautiful verse in the Bible that says that the Lord Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to judge us. He came that we might be forgiven. And he did that because he went to the cross at Calvary and died for us. A sacrifice that enables him to forgive you and to forgive me if we simply put our faith and trust in him. It is our greatest need to have our sins forgiven. It came at the greatest price. And the question again that goes out from this platform, as I'm sure it goes out every Sunday, is this. Will you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Disease. We all have it. We're all sinners. Deity, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God. He is the Son of God. He was then, and he is now. Determination to come and put faith in him. Will you do that today? It's a decision that only you can make. Let's pray to God.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.